When we were in Guatemala, when we first got to our work site where we would be building our house, we parked and we saw the pile of sand and the pile of rocks that we would be using to make the foundation. And that was on the property of this family that we got to know throughout the week. And it wasn't until, I think it was Wednesday, the third day that we had been spending all this time with this family, that I found out that this was actually the pastor and his family. The pastor that had recommended this family for this house. And we had just been hanging out with them this whole time. I'd been talking to Jorge. I mean, every day I was hanging out with Jorge. And turns out we were both pastors. And turns out our daughters turned out to be best friends, pastor's kids, hanging out together. And I don't think they knew it either. On Wednesday, there was a special church service after the dedication, and Jorge asked me if I wanted to preach. I had a few questions. One, do I have to preach in Spanish? Because it's gonna be really, really short if I'm preaching in Spanish. I found out that our friend from Casas por Cristo was going to be my translator, but he told me to speak at a three-year-old level. Is that what he said, Lori? I think that's what he told me. So it was interesting trying to figure out how to speak in the simplest language, because apparently I found out that I don't use the simplest language possible, which I apologize to you all for. So it was a short sermon, but I just want to read for you the passage I read for them, because this is a passage that whenever we're in an intense moment of doing God's work together, whenever I've been in my life in a moment of doing God's work, these are always such great words for me. And they come from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. The Apostle Paul says, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are God's co-workers, you are God's field, God's building." So there we were in Guatemala, co-laborers with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, working on a building that, for all intents and purposes, was God's building. And realizing that it wasn't about getting all the glory, it wasn't about getting all the thank yous, although we got plenty of that. It was about doing God's work and glorifying God. And that our brothers and sisters there in Guatemala are the ones who are doing the real work for the gospel in that community. That none of us even knew enough Spanish to really talk to people that much in depth about their relationship with God. But that family that we blessed, they have been impacted and transformed for life. And they have a story to tell to their neighbors and their friends. And I look forward to hearing, maybe one day in glory, I mean, who knows when I'll actually hear the stories, but of how this act of kindness from all of you, not just everybody who went, but from anybody who gave a penny or said a prayer for every one of us, what a blessing that was. And so we thought that this was a story worth telling, and it certainly is. So we're going to begin. We broke it up into as few categories as possible, just so that you could understand what we experienced. So we're going to begin with our ministry partners, Casas por Cristo and Granja Emmanuel. So I'm going to invite Marlene forward for that portion of the story. Get this to an appropriate height. Maybe I should take it straight over the top. Is that easier?
Oh, yeah. Is that good? I forget. Yeah. I have to talk. I have such a loud voice. all your prayers and all of your support very clearly was there from the beginning. Many of you had heard Lindsay talk about and about the living conditions in Guatemala for the volunteers. And she painted a picture that was very Spartan, if a Wolverine can use that. She painted a picture that many of us were a little leery about. But Pastor mentioned that she stayed at a Morning Glory school. And the Morning Glory School, which was a Christian school that partners with CASAS, Por Cristo, they were, I don't know how many, there was maybe a couple miles between where we were and the school. But the school is a school, you know, dormitories, bunk beds, fairly Spartan life. Well, I don't even know what's on these things, excuse me. We had the opportunity to stay in a place that they called the Kingdom, and because it is glorious. It was called Granja Emmanuel, and I believe that this was a sign that we saw when we came in. If I had my picture taken in front of this sign wearing that T-shirt, I'd get a free vegetarian dinner in Ann Arbor at that restaurant, so I did. and this shows different sort of portions of it. I would call it a retreat center, I think is a fair, unless somebody heard that it was something else, because it had rooms that slept six in individual beds, and then it had a large meeting room. We used it as a dining room, and it had some other amenities that I will get to shortly. But we did have a very nice Guatemalan nice, I guess, I thought it was great, a place to stay. Whoops. Our partners in this were CASAS Por Cristo, and they had three staff members who live in Guatemala. One is a Guatemalan, and you'll meet Reimer in a moment. But you'll see this is Brandon and his wife Heather, and their last name's Culp. And they have been in Guatemala for about 6 years. They've been with CASAS for 7 years. They were in Mexico prior to this. And did I say they were there 6 years? No, 6 months. Suddenly I heard myself. They've been there about 6 months. They hope to be there, I think it was, they said 6 years, but something like that. And they were, they greeted us at the airport, and it was nice to see some real friendly people, and Heather rode with us on the bus as we went about an hour and a half into the mountains. And so this is Brandon. They also worked hard. I tell you, Heather can build a house by herself, I'm convinced. And Brandon was up on the roof and worked side by side with us. This is a better picture of Heather. Heather, as well as some of the others, and I think they'll be talking about it this morning, had an opportunity, and we all did, to play with the kids. The family was there the whole time. We were right practically in their dining room, if that's what that lean-to is called. And so the kids were there. They took a couple days off of school to watch what was happening, and we had an opportunity to play with them and be with the family as a whole. This is Raymar. Raymar is Guatemalan, and he lives in Guatemala and goes to school there, I should say. He works for CASAS Por Cristo, has for a number of years, I believe, and he was with us, as Heather and Brandon were, all the time.
And we many of us became good friends with all of them, and had an opportunity to play games and laugh and sing, and you'll see a little bit about that too. This is, now, Pastor calls her Melba. I call her Melva. It's one of those names. And Melva was our cook, and she prepared incredible meals every day for us. Breakfast, lunch, she brought lunch to the work site, and dinner, and it was, we had Guatemalan food. Some of you know I'm gluten-free. Turns out Brandon is gluten-free as well, and so they cooked Brandon and I gluten-free meals that were great, which gave me, frankly, inspiration to go home and cook more, I have to say, because it wasn't that hard. I mean, it was really good. This is how we got our meals, and then we went either into the main room or into that meeting room I mentioned, or sat outside if the weather was nice. I think we did that a couple of times. Was I here? This picture is the only picture that I don't know what it is. But it is having fun. It is singing. It is in the area across the street. We sang and we danced and we had a good time. All three of them are in the same picture. As he said, they're all with us. This is an interesting picture. For the cooks among us. Raymar is studying to be a chef. And Xuan was there and said that he would teach him how to cook Chinese food, Qin food. And so Raymar was so excited, and they went out and they shopped. And I think many of us had a pretty eye-opening experience with how you go out and buy beef and pork and chickens and other things that you eat. And so this is Xuan and Raymar purchasing the pork, and here you see Xuan teaching actually all of us how to make stir fry. It was delicious, frankly, and Raymar was so excited to have learned how to make Chinese food. So it'll be interesting to see how that gets a Guatemalan twist at some point. This is the time we had together. As I said, they were with us all the time. So they ate meals with us, and they played with us. And this is, as calm as this picture is, it's the most dangerous game you have ever played in your life. It's called Spoons. I happened to stand there to take a picture, and I just about got run over. So other than that, it was great fun, and they stayed up late, and we all played. I didn't play Spoons. It's a long story. Not only did we have an opportunity to get to know the CASA's staff and the Guatemalan families that we interacted with, but we really had an opportunity to get to know each other better. It was so neat to spend 24/7 with this group of people from Bretton Woods. We often just see each other on a Sunday. We often see each other maybe on a Wednesday too, but you don't really get that opportunity to really spend time together and talk and enjoy each other. And that cute guy next to Andrew is my great nephew, and he had hoped to be here today, but things just couldn't work out, school starting in Chicago and things like that. And he had a terrific experience. He came back to the family and he said, "I will never look at the world the same again." When he left us, he said that if you ever go on another mission trip, I'm there with you. So it really, he's 17, senior in high school, and it really, really affected him. And he has shared a lot of that with our family, which has been really special. The countryside, we were up in the mountains. We were about an hour, and a half or so from Guatemala City, which is the main city, about an hour, a little bit more, from Antigua, where someone will talk about, I think, some of the time we spent there. But this is the countryside, and as you can see, the mountains are in the distance. It really was beautiful. I'll tell you, your prayers were answered. Our prayers were answered because of you. This is the rainy season. Casas does not do a house in the first week in August because it rains, and it rains hard, and it rains all the time. It starts now and goes through October, or to October. And we had sunny, beautiful weather every day. And there was that rained the night before we left, so we really had we were really blessed with good weather, and that allowed us to get this house done as quickly as we did. And again, I don't know what you can, this, I forgot the good stuff. As I said, this house was a little different. This retreat center was a little different. We had a swimming pool, which was really a blessing because, one, it allowed people to play together and play volleyball or killer or whatever these games are called. and it was really a great place to just sort of relax when you got back. This is our living situation. This is the men's. I was going to provide a picture, but the three of us that shared a room will know why we didn't show that picture. but there were four of us, the three others and me. And we also had an opportunity across the street from Granja Emmanuel was a school. And the school had a little bodega kind of place to hang out and get ice cream. And I'm sure you'll hear more about that. And the people we met and the things that we did together. This was, another game. we were playing games across the street, and we were, we really had a good time. Marcy's having our favorite choco banana. And I think you're going to be able to taste that a little bit after the service today. Here we are, swimming and, doing dangerous things. And we had a good time. And it was fun. And the rest of us sort of sat on along the side, dangled our feet in the water, because who brought a bathing suit? So we certainly didn't. So many people just wore T-shirts and shorts and enjoyed the water as well. So it was a wonderful experience, and I just want to thank you all for helping make it probably the most meaningful experience I've ever had, and I want to thank you for that.
Did we get some volunteers to talk about the family? Yeah? I'll stand up here with you, whoever wants to come talk. And I'll fill in if you'd like as well. Plenty of pictures of your boyfriend. It's not what you think.
He's
like
six.
Yeah, he's six. Stand in front of the mic if you would. Sorry. Thank you.
Okay. I have this blog thing from Heather and Brandon that Lori gave me to read. So I'll do that. It says, last week we were able to build a home for a man named Emilio and his family of nine. When we showed up to the site, Maria, the mother, was sweeping the dirt where her new house would go. She never stopped working the entire time we were there. The real kicker is that she was 8 months pregnant. All week long... Hold on. I have a cold too, I think. All week long, we would see her trying to lift things or do work that she should not have been doing. When we would ask her to let us do the work, she would reply that she had no other way to show how thankful she was. The current structure serving as their home was right next to where we were building the house and had no door, so you could freely see their way of living. Before their new home, they had two rooms with two beds squeezed into each. Nine people were sharing those four beds. When the house was done, the group bought them two more beds to go into their new home and a baby bed for the new little one. Maria's face was priceless. They made fireworks for a living, so they would most likely have never been able to save up and build a new space for their growing family. When we gathered everyone together, she was eager to say a few words, and she started off by first thanking God for providing for her and answering her prayers. It was so encouraging because she realized that her new house did not come from a bunch of Americans, but that God had heard her and simply used us to spread his love and encouragement.
Those are the fireworks that they made to make money. Oh, and that's papaya. It's delicious. And that's Maria, and I think that's Kevin. Kevin? Those aren't all the kids, but those are the ones that were there mostly every day. The little girl on the left is Jennifer. And then that's Luis in the SpongeBob shirt. That's my boyfriend. And then Heel May is next to him in the red. And then that, I think, was a neighbor boy. And behind him is Kevin, and to the left of Kevin is Alexander Anderson. That's Becca and Cheyenne. And behind Cheyenne is Luvia, and Maynard, I think, is next to her. And then Maria is behind Becca. That's Luvia carrying Jennifer in that thing. And then Lori gave her iPhone to the baby.
Not permanent.
Oh, but she got it back, yeah. Lori drew a picture. I'm not sure if this was of your family, but she drew a picture of their family, and so we could remember everybody's name and how old they were. And that's Luis. I think he's picking his nose. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was taking his picture, and I don't know how to say smile in Spanish, so I just kept pointing to my smile, but he just kept putting his finger in his mouth. And that's Kevin, Alexander Anderson, and Luis. And then that's Luis in the window. I don't think they'd had a window before, so everyone was either looking through the window or climbing through the window or sitting in the window. And that's Alexander Anderson and Hilme and Jennifer. Oh, yeah. I took this picture as we were leaving. They were watching us go, just leaning there, posing. And that's Addison and Maria. And that's, well, you already know. All my new best friends. Lori and Don and Alexander Anderson and Hilme. I'm not sure what's happening here. But I was probably playing with Luis like usual. And something's going on with Addison. That's Pastor picking up Alexander Anderson so he could see what it's like to be tall.
he kept coming up behind me on my leg, going like this. And so I just reached around and grabbed him and held him up to my height so he could see what it was like.
Oh, am I done here?
Would you like to say anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, then I suppose you are.
Sweet.
Thanks. Mr. Frisbee. Just point if you need anybody to help you.
Yep. I think I got the part. just kind of outlaying how the building was built. And this kind of oversights the building site, and we were all kind of expecting, you know, what needed to be done to the ground, and we started to get it leveled. And we had to tow everything there in back of two of these pickups, so we loaded them right to the gills, and ladders on top and everything. And it's quite a project because we put two cement mixers in the back of this. But this was the view from the road going to the work site, which was probably 50 to 75 feet and steps all the way up, and they weren't poured steps. They were rocks that were held in with re-rod, and didn't take me long to figure out I wasn't going to be carrying too much stuff up those steps, so I volunteered for other jobs. And across the street at the pastor's place, once we figured out he was the pastor, is where we staged the lumber, pre-cut, measured pre-cut, and so, but we couldn't build the walls over there because of that path going up. It just kind of shows you the layout of everything, and kind of a snapshot of the pastor's house, which was a fairly nice house, probably one of the better houses in the area. So he did something other than just preach, I suspect. And we carried up all the tools, and this is Swan, whatever his name is, I can never pronounce it, but shown that he can carry two things at once, and we put him to work on that pickaxe too later. Hopefully we'll see a picture. This is a proper inspection of work being done by me. I'm glad earlier there was some pictures of me working. But we dug a little footer around underneath the boards, and then we put re-rod in there, and then they were wiring it to the mesh, and we were preparing the cement mixers to start mixing the formula. And down on the road site, there's the girls, even including Addison, filling buckets. They were like 5-gallon buckets, what they used to carry the sand and stone up to the work site. And the mortar or cement, concrete's in the back, cement's what we made. I was informed of that yesterday by one of my building trade guys. So you see how they carried it up the steps, and that was a pretty tough job. And this is Jeff, which is working full, finishing off the concrete. Schwinn's over in his corner. He spent all afternoon on that 2-foot piece of concrete, and Sig was helping there finish off. And there was just enough tools for three of them to work with that concrete, and that's kind of a talent to get that stuff smoothed off and not have rocks come through it. We were all kind of getting lessons on that. Kind of a snapshot of the cleanup, and this was down next to the road, and this is where they would, I think if I understood it right, water was on every other day. So we had running water, there was buckets or 55-gallon barrels, and we was able to wash our tools up. But this was like just a very poor constructed shelter, because I know I leaned on a 4x4 and it just all come tumbling down. I think me and Joe had to rebuild it in about 5 minutes. Like, exactly, dishes, and probably did their laundry. Yeah, it was down where the water faucet was by the road, and away from the house. Little Addison, I think that was, I can't tell. It's her, is that Addison? Not so little. Pounding some nails in the framing. The only place that we could put the frame together was on the concrete, because that was the only room. We couldn't pre-build the wall. So the first day was, prepare the ground, pour the concrete. Second day was to put up the barrier walls. And Cheyenne there showing that she could swing a hammer. Marlene getting instructions on. She had two nails. It's the only lady I know that carries a 22-ounce hammer. And I said, I it was like surprising. I don't even swing a 22-ounce hammer. Sig and her nephew, what's your nephew? David? David. And you see the walls were starting to take shape. We built the walls and then folded them up and then plumbed them. And that actually, you know, we had a lot of people working up top, and happened pretty quick. At lunchtime, we would go over to the pastor's place. They would deliver lunch to us there. I can tell you this was burrito day, which was the best lunch that we had there. And one thing they had was the 3-liter Pepsis, which was the old style Pepsi configuration, which was delicious because it's made out of sugar, not corn syrup. So it was, I fell off the wagon from drinking pop. I did drink some pop there. This was just finishing up on the second day. We were starting to lay a little bit of the groundwork for the roof. Matter of fact, this may have been the first part of the second day, third day, because we did the walls one day, and then, what's that? This is still second day. Okay. There's Sig. He worked very hard. Three Musketeers there. Showing Jeff, I have to look up here. This was pouring. We poured a secondary out in front of the house. We poured a little, we would call it a porch. It's like 3 foot wide, and we started running out of cement, and we had to make shift a lot of stuff. Finally, the pastor had some bags of cement, so we purchased another bag so we could finish the job up, because we weren't going to leave it halfway done, and we worked in that, and it was a lot of ad-libbing, putting a little more water. We were mixing in that little pile right there for quite some time. You can see the walls, and then we moved the saw up top, and this is still the second day, and when moving the walls up top, or moving the saws up, then we could start cutting the siding. And there's Joe was the master cutter. I think that's Joe. And you always put an accountant on measuring and being precise. So, and bringing lumber up, the pre-cut siding. There's the framed version of the house. You can see the wall starting to take place. It wasn't quite tongue and groove, but it overlapped siding, wood siding that was treated. And you see that start finishing it right up. And on the beginning of the morning of the third day, we had all the siding on, and then the second day, and the third day was put the roof on and wire the house. And I volunteered to go in and wire, me and Sig, because neither one of us felt like going up on the roof. And pastor showing the window, and the windows were kind of exciting to the kids. They were hating this, like Savannah said, that you know, they were always looking in that window. And then we put glass in it, and I think that was even more impressive to them. This is a view of the porch that was built, you know, out the front. And literally, you had 2 foot in front of the porch, and that was another building. So it was a very tight build. And there's our chief cook and bottle washer. He led us, you know, building the whole complete thing. There's our trusty, what do they call him, Chino? Chino, that's what all the Grotto Miles called him. And he was kind of a hit because they've never met, I don't think, anybody from China. And that was Brian cutting the tin roofing, which does reflect the heat until at this time. It may change as it deteriorates some. Put the finishes touches on a little. We had to cut that porch back, so we had to recut this board. And that's kind of a view it from the probably the top of the house. It's an inside view. It did have three rooms, small rooms, basically a front room and two back rooms, and would be about the size of our bathrooms here. There's another snapshot with a door and window in. And I don't think the family's ever experienced a key and lock. And this is a snapshot of the family and all the building crew, and kind of finished it up. And that was built in 2.5 days. It's a typical 3.5 day build. So we had real blessed with good weather and a couple people who knew what they were doing, and the rest of us just followed orders. I think that's the...
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now to talk about the church family. Monte Hermon, which Mount Hermon, as you can probably guess. That isn't helping or no? Later. Okay, perfect. Awesome. Watch it. You know your timing. There you go.
Andrew mentioned before that, well, you've probably heard this through a couple different stories, that there was a house across the street where all of our materials were delivered, and the space where we built was just big enough for the house. There was no extra space there, so it was a huge blessing that there were these people across the street who were willing to, you know, house the sand and the gravel and the wood and everything, the tin that we needed. And then later we found out that they were the actual pastor's family for the family that we were building. So I don't know all their names, but there were just so many people around. But I can tell you that this group of people were all from the church. So they were either part of the pastor's family or his in-laws or other people just from the church that showed up. And this is at the dedication ceremony. So we found that they were there to greet us in the morning, and they were there to see us off in the evening, and everything in between. And that included being with us the entire week and just showing us amazing hospitality. And so it was just a natural thing that they would be then at the dedication ceremony and supporting us there. And it was really cool because they actually brought over a guitar and an accordion to help accompany the playing, which was just awesome to see the cultures intersect. There were kids over there, young girls, which was great because our family had a lot of young boys. And so Addison naturally developed some friendships with the girls there. The girl in this picture who has the turquoise on, she's kind of on the side of the picture. Her name was Helen, and she was 10 years old and actually got to skip school a couple of days just to stay back to play with Addison. But one day she brought out all her toys, which you can see is a couple of stuffed animals and a couple of Barbies, and they would sit and play, which is really fun. We also took some toys, and maybe there's pictures of this. We took some jump ropes, and we learned some new singing and dancing games, and so we spent a lot of time playing with the family, or with the church family, too. And they also, I mentioned they showed us, like, amazing hospitality. There would have been, like, except maybe the dirt floor, there wouldn't have been a place for us to all sit and eat lunch at our family's house. And so the church family invited us every day to go across the street, and they set up their tables for us, and they even had, like, tablecloths, and it was so nice. And we got to sit in the shade and eat our lunch together. And then every day they would bring out, what Don said, these great big 3 liters of cold Pepsi, and it's just, like, the most amazing taste in your mouth when you've been working all morning and, like, you get to drink this cold, like, bubbly pop. It was amazing. This is Katie, and not only did they show us hospitality and let us use their space, but they helped too. So this is where we were filling buckets with the gravel and the sand, and they were just out there helping us, and especially some of the older boys. They were just, like, standing around and would hop in and help wherever they could, which I wasn't expecting that, so it was, like, amazing to me. We heard that that's just kind of what happens. Like, if you're part of the church family, you just help however you can, which I guess is similar to here, too. And then they started giving us gifts. So these are purses that the ladies make in the church, and they started handing out these purses to all the ladies in our group, which was, again, like, just such an unexpected thing. But it also shows part of their culture, and then these next couple pictures show that as well. This family had the traditional Mayan wear, that the cultural dresses that they would wear, And so I think it was the second day they came out, and they're like, do you guys want to dress up? And so, of course, like, I think that dress up is like this universal language for young kids. Like, it doesn't matter if you speak Spanish or English. Like, if you say, do you want to dress up? It's like, oh, yeah. So Addison then spent the next, like, 48 hours dressing in mine clothes all the time. And so this is a picture of her and her friend Helen, and this would be, like, a very, like, dressy outfit for her. But then, there's a couple more pictures of the older girls dressed up that we'll get to. This is just one of the neighbor babies. And so this girl walked over, and she handed her to Becca. She's like, do you want to hold my baby? And Becca's like, sure. And Becca's like, look, I was there with Becca, and there wasn't really anyone else around. And Becca's like looking at me like, do I just hold this baby? I'm like, yeah, hold the baby. So they were just so friendly, and they were so open. You know, like, we were these strangers from this other country, but they didn't care. They were just like, we know that you're here from a church and you love God and we love God, and so that's enough for us. So let's just share our lives together. So it was a really cool experience. So here's the older girls dressed in, these were the older women's ceremonial clothes, and they let them try them on to see what they were like. This is just another picture of us playing games at the neighbor's house. And we play all kinds of games, like jump rope and dancing games, but then older kid games like soccer. We brought a couple of playground balls from the United States, and the balls that they have there are like these really hard things that don't bounce. And so we brought these balls that, like, you know, in a pump, you know, to blow it up, and like that was like a huge deal, like bouncy balls. And we ended up buying a soccer ball too at the market one day, and that was just like, wow, we have these awesome balls to play with. Like, we've never had that before. And then on the last day, it was one of the little girls' birthdays, but it also kind of coincided with the dedication of the house. So after the dedication of the house, this family invited us back over to their house, and they had a piñata, which was, like, amazing. And they, like, invited all of our group to be, like, the first ones to, like, swing at it and try to break it, which was fun. But then they also provided a meal for us. They gave us these amazing tostadas, which you'll get to have a similar sampling of downstairs later. And their kids sang for us songs that they would normally sing at church. So that was really fun, too. Here's more pictures. They made Lori swing at the piñata. And they're just jumping out all the candy. And it was full of candy. It was really fun. And then they gave goodie bags to all of us, too, full of more candy. And here's the kids singing at that little program that they had. So they're singing, like, their normal church songs. And then we all taught them Father Abraham so that they could see what one of our kids' songs were like. And we probably just looked ridiculous, but it was fun. And that right there with the white shirt is Jorge, right? That's his name, Jorge. He's the pastor of the church. And then one other thing to mention about the church was on Wednesday night, we had the opportunity to go back and go to one of their church services. And then later we got to see their church, and you'll see that too. But they have church every day of the week. Like, they go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and two services on Sunday. So, like, you know, we have it Wednesday and Sunday once, and they go every day of the week. And it was really cool because, like, at the service that we were at, and I don't know that this is typical because we only went to one service, but the women led a lot of the service. They would get up, and they would read scripture and sing songs, and we would pray. It was really cool. This is the little girl in this picture. It was her birthday the day we went to the service, and they did the coolest thing. They had her stand up front during the church service, and they sang that birthday song to her, and then all the people from the church would come up, and they would give her hugs and give her kisses and maybe, like, say a blessing or something to her. And it was just a really cool thing to experience their culture and what they do as a church family. And here we are singing. We had sang at the dedication a couple of American songs, and so during the church service, they were like, you go sing your songs now. So we all got up front and sang, which is really great. And this picture was actually taken by Addison's friend Helen, of us singing, because we were all up there singing. So we got to share with them some of our songs. And there's Andrew preaching and Brandon translating for him during the service. And then after the service, they set up these tables with, like, these pastries and, like, this amazing coffee. And we sat down, and then they started bringing out these things. And I don't know what they're called, but they're similar to, like, a tamale. They're not called tamales in Guatemala, but it would be, like, similar to a Mexican tamale, homemade. And so this was, like, maybe, like, our fifth meal of the day, and we're just, like, but it was so good, and we just kept eating them. So, again, they served us, which was, like, you know, we were, like, thinking, okay, we're going there to serve these people, and, like, they just kept showing us all this amazing hospitality.
And then on the last day, I think someone's going to talk about some of the extra things we were able to provide to the family with some of the extra donations that we took with us. But then we actually had a little bit of money left over. So the last thing that we did was we walked over and we gave this church this extra money as a donation to their church. And we were all kind of just kind of trickling down, and everyone started saying, come on, they want to show you something. Come on, they want to show you something. So we start like trekking like through this long grass and up this hill, and like these roads were all washed out, and there was like all these barbed wire fences, and I just kept thinking, where are we going? This makes no sense. They're leading us to nowhere. But then when we got there and went through this church is the building where they meet. Now, when we met, we just met at the pastor's house kind of under like a lean-to awning thing, and they have their church service there. But this is their actual church building. This is what it looks like on the inside. And then across the street, there's this building, and this building is the new church building that they're building, and they've been building it for 3 years already. And they told us that our extra donation that we gave them is going to go towards more construction on this building. She said that right now the girl who's in charge of the children's ministry said, like, right now every week they have 47 kids that come to their church, and that would house 47 kids. So anybody in addition would be more. So they just need this bigger space. So they've been working 3 years to build this bigger space. And so our extra money is helping towards that. So I thought that I was also supposed to do some personal reflections. And so I did that. And so you guys just have to bear with me and listen to what else God did for me when I was in Guatemala. So that's about the church family. But here's my personal reflections. And I'm just going to read this because it was easier for me to write it and read it than just to ad lib. So, and it's also pretty raw still. I've been thinking all week about my own reflection on our time in Guatemala and how to put it into words. Processing an experience like this, or like the one that we had, isn't a quick and easy thing to do. And overall, two things on the trip have really stood out to me. First, I was inspired to watch members of our group work towards a common goal of building a house and using their God-given talents. We talked about a passage in 1 Corinthians about the body of Christ. We're all different parts of the body, but we've all been gifted in different skills that provide a specific function to that body. And some of us have God-given skills that aren't often used inside the walls of the church. And seeing those gifts being practiced was a beautiful thing in Guatemala. I don't know a thing about building a house, but Jeff, he's like the expert of all experts. And now I know if I ever have to build a house again, who to go to. He led our group with his skills and his God-given knowledge. And there was even this group of Guatemalan men and boys that would stand around and watch Jeff work in awe, which just tells you something about the kinds of gifts that he has. When it was time to wire a house with electricity, which just kind of freaks me out, anything that has to do with electricity, Don and Sig raised their hand and didn't even hesitate to volunteer. They had skills that were exactly what we needed at that time. Need to add a tin roof to a building? No problem. Brian has a background in working with those similar materials. And he was quick to jump to the job. Now, we rarely leave these seats on Sunday morning to go and build things as part of our weekly worship services, but Guatemala provided a unique opportunity for people to exercise their God-given talents to be used for his glory, and it was really beautiful. I love to see the way that we worked as a team, and everybody was able to find jobs that they could do. And we worked as a team, and in 2.5 days, we had a house. It was pretty amazing. The second thing that's a little bit harder to articulate into words is this. On the last evening of our trip, we were worshiping and reflecting as a group. And one of the guys from Casas Por Cristos mentioned that when we returned to the United States, we would attempt to describe our experience to others, and it would be impossible. And I've encountered that this week as I've tried to articulate what a week in a third world country teaches you. I keep going back to this spring when, as a church, we looked at the book, The Hole in Our Gospel. And in that book, there was a story of a man who was leaving a third world country, and he was being sought out by a mother carrying a child that was missing a leg. She was pleading with the man for help, and he didn't help her. But when he got home, he wasn't able to shake the image of the woman and the child, and he was able to make some contacts and eventually found out through some other people that there was something he could do to help that child and that mother. For $300, the boy could get a prosthetic leg that would change his life. $300. Now, in the scope of things, $300 is a pretty insignificant amount of money. But now in your head, you're probably thinking of all the things that you could do with $300 right now. And you aren't alone, because I am too. $300 is two-thirds of my grocery budget for the month. $300 is half the amount that I'm paying for this crown that the dentist just put in my mouth. $300 is enough for me to pay for Addie to have ballet lessons for a year. $300 is a lot of money. But then I started to think of, I started to understand how $300, or in our group's case, $8,000 to build a house, looks a lot less like an amount of money that we can use for other things and begins to look a lot more like God's, like a God-given gift that we can use to bless. It has to do with our stories. You see, in that story of the man that encountered the little boy without the leg, he actually looked into the boy and the mother's eyes. He didn't read about them in the pages of a book or see them on a TV news screen. His life actually intersected with theirs in their homeland. And when we went to Guatemala, our stories intersected with the stories of people we encountered there. We saw with our own eyes the two small rooms that housed 10 people on 4 beds. We colored and got to know members of the family. We climbed their uneven, pieced-together stairway several times a day. We shopped at their market, and we saw opened packages of diapers because mothers can never afford to buy a whole package, but usually only one at a time. We sat on their dilapidated furniture, and we drank from our own filtered water bottles because drinking from their water would make us sick. We ate local food, and we learned to communicate without speaking a common language. Our lives and stories became intertwined with a small group of people that we could have read about on pages of a book. And when your stories intersect, with other people, God shows up. His hand navigates you through building a relationship that changes your perception on a lot of things that you think you already have figured out. And then you stand on a dirt porch and you hand a family keys to a house, a greater gift than they could have ever imagined having, and something they could have never provided for themselves. And the price tag of that house, it doesn't say $8,000. The dollar signs have fallen away, and the price tag on that house now simply reads, God's grace.
Now Lori is going to talk about the house dedication ceremony and the additional gifts we were able to give.
You know, it's very interesting sitting out there looking at these pictures, knowing that I belong here, but I got a chance to go there. And just thank you so much for your prayers and your support and your encouragement, the way that you stood along beside us. It's also interesting to hear everyone else's sharing, because I have been able to sit there and realize that although I was taking it all in while I was there, it was only my perspective, and I'm getting a chance to hear other people's perspectives, and we hadn't had a chance really to do that as a team. So I hope that as time goes on that we can continue to share with one another and with all of you just what an amazing time this was. So the house dedication happened on Wednesday afternoon, which was early in the week for the most part, because normally the houses aren't done as quickly as they got done. But thanks to the help that we had from the neighbors, and thanks to Jeff's great skills and the way that he led all of us, and just thanks to God for the beautiful weather, the house dedication happened on Wednesday afternoon. This is the family as they stood next to their old living quarters, facing the house. And Brandon, who was Casas por Cristo's, our leader there, he was talking at this point, and they're just listening. And there's another picture of both houses, the one on the left there that we were able to build, and the one on the right, which they had been living in. Another picture of the two houses. And that picture also shows when we did when the dedication first started, Brandon said, let's start with some singing. And so the two songs that we sang were Our God is Greater, Our God. And the other song was I Saw the Light. It was really fun when we sang I Saw the Light. We just started dancing with them in that little tiny area, and that was fun. But anyway, the neighbor there across the street came and brought his accordion. They wanted to participate in the worship with us. There's Brandon and myself, actually. After we got done with the singing, Brandon said, you know, is there anyone that wants to share anything? He asked our group. And a few of us shared, it was a blessing to be able at that time just to tell the family how grateful we were for the chance to, how grateful we were to God for the chance to be there, to meet them and get to know them, and thanked God for all that he had done. And then after we got done with this sharing time, so our group shared, and then the family shared, the mother and the father both shared just how grateful they were for God's work in their lives, answering their prayers, and just for us to come and do this. Marlene had made, since she does beautiful quilting, she had made this banner for them to hang in the house. And on the one side, the side that you see there, is scripture, right, Marlene? Yeah. Scripture and a cross in just really pretty colorful fabric. And on the other side is, on the back side, and this was the back side, was a picture of us printed on fabric. It was the group picture that was taken out here by the sign. And below that was a piece of fabric that Marlene had ironed on for us to sign, each of us to sign our names. Well, I don't know if there's a picture to follow or not, but when the second day after we had the dedication, when we got there on Thursday, the first thing I noticed in the house was that they already had hung it, even though somehow Marlene had lost the string to hang it with. That didn't stop them. They had already hung it. They had just put two nails in and hung it there, and they didn't have the front side showing. They had the back side. They, I'm sure, loved the picture on the front, but for them it was important at that time to have our picture showing. So that just really touched me. And there's the family after Marlene presented them with the banner. And then also we presented them, Pastor Andrew gave them a Bible in Spanish. The Bible had been signed by all of us also. And I think this is at the end of the dedication, but another thing, a couple other things that were part of the dedication. Let me see here just a minute. Sorry, I haven't had a chance to look at these pictures. Okay, good. Also a part of the dedication was, there was the Spanish Bible that Pastor Andrew gave them that we had all signed, and then there was also a solar-powered audio Bible that they would be able to just have at any time, just turn it on, and it always would read scripture to them in Spanish. Another part, a very significant part, for me, this was kind of touched me the most as far as the dedication. This plaque says Casas por Cristo on it that Jeff is hammering up there, and there's two holes in it, and Jeff took the hammer, climbed up on a chair, and hammered in the one nail. And then is there a picture? Yeah. then he gave the last nail of the whole house. The last nail to be pounded into the house was pounded by the father, Emilio, and he put that last hole or that last nail in the house. And then Jeff and Emilio shook hands and took a picture, and it was at that point that we kind of just went, it's done, you know. It was completed. And then a very significant part that followed after that was that the family, they had told, Brandon and Heather had told us that the family has probably, well, has never had a lock or a door that locked. Turns out we didn't see any doors at all, let alone any that locked. And so the presentation of the keys to the house was a very significant thing for the family. And I know, I don't remember who gave them the keys. I think Savannah and Lindsay presented the mother with a set of keys and the father with a set of keys. And he struggled a little bit at first. I think the lock was a little tricky, though, too, as we know they can be. But he got it open, and it was a great moment. And then this is a picture of them standing inside the house looking out. And, you know, it was an interesting thing. When we got there each morning, I kind of wondered to myself, like the first day we got there, we laid the foundation. Obviously, the second day when we got there, that was it. That's all that's there is just the foundation. And I shouldn't say that's all, because that's like, as we know, God says build a strong foundation on Him, and the foundation is the strongest part of the house. But anyway, when each morning when we would get there, I would think to myself, I wonder if they have been hanging out in the house. Just the excitement, I would think that they would have been in there. But I have a feeling that they hadn't, because there was so much excitement when they got to go into the house. And I just have a feeling that probably the mother and the father said to them, we're waiting until it's done, you know. And I just got that feeling. I don't know if anyone else did. But so it was the dedication was a very fun time. I didn't even know this happened, actually. Twen is apparently learning how to play the accordion. Oh, and Jeff, too. Wow, see, I mean, even though you're there, you do miss a lot. And, yeah, then the music just continued as we, continued. And this is a picture of Twen pointing out where they hung the banner in the house with our picture showing. Another very exciting part of this, you know, if we had gone and we had put in the foundation and put up this house and then gone home, I mean, that was in itself such a beautiful thing that God allowed us to do. But God, through the generosity of all of you and others, you know, that are part of our extended family here, the extended church family, because of that generosity, because of what God has done, we were able to buy extra things. We had roughly $800 extra to spend there. And so we went to the market, and on Thursday, we went to the market, and we had, you know, that picture previous, it was quite a while back, of me sitting and drawing with the family. The picture that I was drawing, I was trying to find a way, although I couldn't speak any Spanish, a way to interact with the family. And you can't see this. I can show it to you later if you want. But this is a picture, just stick people, of the family. And what I did was I wanted to interact with the mom as much as possible. And I thought, if I was at home and I'm meeting a new friend and I wanted to get to know her, you know, what would we talk about? We would talk about our families. So I sat down, and the mom was kind of in the distance, but I started talking with one of the kids, and I drew the dad and the mom, and then the smallest child was little Yennifer, age 2. And so I said to the little boy that was standing there, Alexander Anderson, I said, you know, who's next? And just kind of gestured, like, who's in between? Who's in between here and here? And he kind of looked at me like he didn't understand what I was talking about. And so I thought, oh, Savannah's boyfriend, Lewis. he's the 5-year-old. He's next. So I drew Lewis there, and I put 5, And I put two by Jennifer. And then I was like, you know, help me out here, because the rest of it was blank. And then the mom came over, and Alexander Anderson and Maria Lucia and I sat and drew the rest of the people and wrote their ages and put the names on there and everything like that. But this paper, I just felt like that was kind of a God experience, because it helped all of us that week to remember all their names and their ages. And but at the end of the week, when we went to the market to buy for them, we were able to use this to try to buy. We bought shoes for each one of the kids, socks, underwear, pants, shirts, and then another amazing thing that we were able to buy. There's a lot of things here. There's dishes, there's pasta and rice and beans, and there's some fresh fruit there. There's towels. I wonder if these pictures are all on here. But the big part of what we were able to get for them, I can't make this work. There we go. Oh, the big part of what we were able to get for them was beds. Heather had told the family on Wednesday that we had this extra money and that we were going to be getting them two full-size beds for the house. And Heather said to the mother, now they're going to have more money and they really want to get you some things that you need, so what do you need? And Heather was sharing with us that she said, oh, no, you know, I couldn't. We have so much, or you've done so much already. And Heather said, no, they have money and they're going to spend it and they really want to get you what you need, so please tell us what you need. And she said that she'd really like a baby bed. I wonder if there's a picture of the baby bed in here. And so we got the baby bed, and we got, there it is, a baby bath, and some baby outfits, and I think three packages of diapers, and some baby wipes. Oh, sorry. Finally, I got it to work. Oh, I don't know what. Oh, yeah, that's okay. So that's after the dedication, right? Yeah. That's when we were doing Father Abraham. So we were being crazy. But anyway, what a great week. What a great time. And what a blessing to be able to give all that extra stuff to them. And I just have a quick, very quick personal reflection. Like Marcy, you know, when they told us that last night, you're going to go home and you're going to try to explain this to people, and it's just, you're not going to have the words to be able to describe it. For me, it's like we know of God's amazing love for us, and we know that love is a gift from God. And I think that the time in Guatemala was being able to experience God's love on a level that I've never experienced it before. And just being caught up in what he was doing there, and that you were able to be a part of it, and that it was all for his glory. It was just an amazing thing. So, thank you.
All right, well, maybe a few more want to share. I know Addison doesn't, or she would. But Lindsay and Chuen are not able to be with us today because Lindsay's on her way back from China right now, and Chuen is still there. They went to China right after Guatemala. They did not stop on the way. Before I read their reflections, Friday night, we sang some songs together and had a wonderful time of reflection. And at the end, Twin took my guitar and sang a song. This was all set up. It was pre-planned. took my guitar and sang a song and then got down on one knee and proposed to Lindsay So they are an engaged couple in China. Well, she's not in China anymore, I don't think. But that was a pretty exciting extra blessing for all of us on this trip. And he called me a couple of days before we left and said he really wanted to do that while they were on mission for God, not just at some fancy restaurant. He said he wants their whole relationship to be about serving God. And so what a better time to propose than on a mission trip. So good stuff, really good stuff. So here's Lindsay's reflection. So you can imagine her voice reading it, I guess. This year's trip to Guatemala touched my heart yet again, but in new ways. God is good at that, using an experience to teach each of us whatever we need to learn in individual ways. It was really amazing to observe how God touched the hearts of everyone on the team through this trip. Last year in Guatemala, God taught me to see his fingerprints at work in the little things in life, and to feel his presence and comfort at a time when I felt all alone, starting a new life in Michigan. This year, I went to Guatemala feeling far from alone. God has provided me with my Bretton Woods family. And this year, through this trip, I gained a better understanding of the depth of God's love. Somehow I learned more about God's love through getting to know the Guatemalan people we served. On our free day, I got to meet the family of my World Vision sponsor child, Maria, and play games with her and her sisters. Both them and the family we built a house for had a love for God that shined through them. I saw how joyful they were and realized that while they lacked some of the necessities for a safe and healthy lifestyle, they were doing better than most Americans because they knew Christ's love. Perhaps true poverty isn't dependent on your income and resources, but true poverty is not knowing God's love. On our last night, as our team sang praise songs together, I felt overwhelmed by the realizations of the abundant blessings in my own life. As we sang the lyrics, "Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm," I felt the truth of the words. I was able to look back and see that in the storms of this life, God's perfect love truly covers me and casts out fears. The Guatemalan Christians seemed to really understand this. They lived a content and joyful life, with God's love meeting their needs. Shortly after, at the end of the praise and sharing time, Chuen surprised me with a proposal, reminding me of yet another of God's countless blessings, providing me with a godly partner who prides himself on being the spiritual leader of our relationship. And now as we leave Guatemala behind and resume the routines of life, I hope that we can all take the lessons of Guatemala home with us. I hope that we can recognize all the blessings in our life and remember that all we really need is a personal relationship with our loving Savior. Through the calm and through the storm, in every high and every low, Lord, you never let go of me. And now, some words from Chuen. He told this story. There's a reference in the story to a time that Spellcheck betrayed him, and he referred to himself as Supperman rather than Superman in an email to Lindsay. So just that word, because it's an inside thing, but now you're all inside. From Chuen. In Guatemala, God taught me to be humble. I thought, I am a humble man, but I'm wrong. Before I came to Guatemala, I worked at a job that I'm good at, living at a place, everything is so handy and rich and familiar. And if someone says, "You are a proud guy," I would think, "What are you talking about?" But during the mission trip, I stayed in a country where I can't speak the language, did a job that I would never imagine myself to do. How to communicate with local people, how to use a circular saw, how to mix cement with sand and stones and make a nice and smooth cement floor. Even how to nail nails without bending them seemed challenging to me. To a person who was good at this work, looking at others laughing and chatting freely with the Guatemalan people and be the supper master of the construction, while myself stink at what I do, made me feel frustrated. I asked God, "If I can't do any of this work well, why did you put me in Guatemala?" And after doing the devotional in the morning, I started to feel guilty I realized that the meaning of this mission trip is not how to show off my Spanish or my house building skills in front of others, not to impress Lindsay that I will be a good husband, and not to show what a godly man I am. I shouldn't use this work to glorify my name, but only to God's glory. Aren't I a small, weak person, and isn't God the one who provided all the money needed for this trip, held up the rain during the Guatemalan rainy season, and straightened out all my visa issues when I sat in the consulate helplessly? Although I oftentimes thought I am a superman and tried my best to save the earth with my own strength, but really I am a supper man who needs God's mercy. Going to this mission trip is all for His glory and kingdom, and not mine. I thank God for teaching me this lesson and would like to share this with you to glorify His name. James chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. And that was their reflections.
In Guatemala, I was inspired that kids were everywhere. The marching band was great. Xylophones, drums, and dancing. I liked playing with my new friend Helen. I liked riding in the back of a truck. Guatemala was really fun. When I went to the market, I got awesome shoes and a dress. Guatemala was the best ever. Guatemala was awesome because I met my friend. It was awesome. Then I thought it was the best place I've been to in my life. I love Guatemala. Everyone there likes to be by each other. Everyone there has the same hopes. Same dreams.
Good guess. When Lindsay first approached me earlier this year about going to Guatemala, I thought to myself, there's no way my parents are going to let me leave the country by myself. I mean, they hardly let me leave the house. So, but next thing I knew, I was sitting in a meeting planning, to raise funds for this missions trip to help a family. Brandon, who was one of the leaders with Casper Cristo, told us that God has a plan for all of us and that everything happens for a reason. God wanted the 16 of us, 16, yes, sorry. God wanted the 16 of us to go to San Raimundo and build a house for a deserving family, and I think that we are all grateful and overjoyed that He had this in store for us all along. Building the house and bonding with the family in the process not only changed their lives, but it also changed mine. Before we left, family and friends told me that it was going to be a good experience. I just didn't know that it was going to be such a great experience. It completely changed my life, and I will never forget it. The best part for me personally was when we dedicated the house to the family. You could see the joy in their smiles and the thankful tears in their eyes. During the dedication, the family members weren't the only ones who were touched. As I looked around at the others on the missions team, I saw tears of gratification in many eyes. Going into this, I was thinking about how much we would change the family. In reality, it was a two-way street. I learned so much from this family, things like when in the end, it doesn't matter how much stuff you have, but that if you have each other, that's all you need. The family had nothing but everything at the same time. I was thrilled to have shared this experience with the people that I did. Thank you.
Any más? That was Spanish, sort of. No? No? No more stories? Well, everybody has stories, whether they shared them today or not, as you heard. And you got to hear a lot of good stories. So, as we conclude, let's respond to God's goodness by singing. These are songs. We're gonna sing a song that most people know, I think, this one. And then we're going to sing a song, Our God, which might be new to you both in English and Spanish. But it's something that we learned while we were on the trip. And so after we sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, I'm going to ask everybody who was on the Guatemala trip to come forward while we sing Our God together. And there are screens so you can see the words. Yeah. All right, so let's stand.